Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're going to talk about the difference between physical activity and exercise on the show and how those words can motivate you. Our guest is Cindy Kurash. She is the program coordinator for the Physical Education Teacher Education Program at UW-Madison. And she's got some good advice, I think, and I bet you will too. Do you need help adding more activity to your life? What questions do you have about different types of physical activity? What are you doing? Join in. The number to call is 800-642-1234. Or you could send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. And we'd certainly love to hear from you. Cindy Kurash, welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Larry. Great to be here.
So what's the difference between physical activity and exercise?
So it's so funny that you asked me because I know when we started talking about this, we were really talking about just exercise. And I kind of pushed back a little bit just to make sure that we clarify this, because I think it does have some sort of impact on, you know, how people move. But exercise really is planned, structured, repetitive, and intentional movement. So, you know, think jumping jacks and think push-ups, right? The physical activity, though, is anything, any kind of movement that's carried out by the muscles that requires energy. So anything you do. So if you're wiggling in your chair right now, you're participating in physical activity. It's just such a significant difference when you think about what sort of benefits there can be in terms of our health.
Now, when I get up in the morning, I get up and I go out and I sort of jog and walk about 3 miles in the morning. Then I might do another mile and a half or so in the late afternoon. Is that, would you call that physical activity or would you call that exercise?
So really, that's exercise. That's planned and structured, right? Like, you are doing that. And we can talk about this later, but what is interesting to me is to know what your motivation is for doing that, because that will also have a big difference or a big impact.
Yeah, I do it to keep my weight down, but also it's fun to get up in the morning, and I kind of run while I'm doing it. I run through my mind the thoughts of the day, what I've got to do. Think about things.
Sure.
and enjoy the. I probably go ahead.
I was just going to say you probably have multiple motivations, like a lot of us. But it's important to maybe think about what those are. I don't know if you've ever thought about it before. Like, who asks you? Hey, why are you running around like a nut in the morning? maybe no one asked you. I don't know.
Well. No, it's kind of fun to say, you know, you see all kinds of other people in the morning, see the same people sometimes every day, and you wave or say hi and just keep going on your way, and that's kind of fun, too. So here's another thing I like to do. Now that the golf season's here, I like to golf. That's one of the things that for me, that's recreation, but it's also an 18, you know, this Saturday I'll be playing a round of golf with a good friend, and that'll be a nice 6 to 7 mile walk.
Right, yeah. So, and, you know, if we're just going to define things just to start out, you know, maybe that's a great place to start. So exercise is that intentional movement, right? Physical activity is really anything. So physical activity is kind of the umbrella under which all of these other words fit. Like, exercise fits under physical activity, but it's really planned and structured. I mean, there's a real repetitive nature to that. And then sport, like you mentioned, golf is really something that is like a part of a competition. Even if it's kind of low key competition, it's part of an organized athletic movement that, you know, is competitive. And then play is this other thing that we tend to align just with kids, but really that's any activity that we do for enjoyment or recreation rather than for serious purposes. So your golf might actually be play, depending on, you know, how seriously you take it.
And how well I'm shooting at for a dealer.
I know. If I'm not playing well, I'm just doing it for fun. but, you know.
Oh, well, if you're playing a sport, does it make sense to train for it? I frankly don't do a lot of training for the sport.
Sure. No, I mean, and again, it just depends on why you do it. If you're doing it to, you know, recreate and maybe you just to hang out with some friends, you know, you're getting the benefits that you're looking for out of it. If you want to hit the senior circuit, in my case, that would be the senior circuit. But, you know, I would probably train. So there would be some exercise component to that, you know, to my training. And then when I participated in sport, it would be serious. I would be, you know, playing for competition. I would be, you know, really working at it.
Thinking about these words, physical activity, exercise, do they affect our motivation to be active? How do those words affect our motivation to be active?
Yeah, they really do. I mean, our perception of what we're doing has a massive effect on whether we do it or not. And I thought it was so interesting that you started out by talking about how much weight people have gained during this last COVID year. It's terrifying, you know, but I think there will be a lot of people whose perception is now that because they've gained some weight, they're not able to lose it, or they're going to have to participate in exercise, and maybe they have a really negative connotation about that. But there are all kinds of studies out there that say that if our perception of exercise is that we're bad at it, or that it's sort of like a punishment, or that it's work and not enjoyable, we will not engage in it. I mean, the human body says, nope, you know, if it's not fun or if I don't find some benefit out of it, I'm not doing it. If it's too hard, forget it.
Well, Jim in Watertown has something for us. Let's go there. Jim, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Larry. Thanks for taking the call. Yeah, man. Thanks for guilting me into thinking about getting out and running again. yeah. I've had a little bit of extra time off here this last year, so I've been a little more sediment, you know, not doing much with my free time. And I get this thing where I call it being fogged in. I don't really think through my process. I just kind of wing it, and it doesn't always turn out as good. But I know when I used to run, it used to help me clear my mind. And like you say, think through the process of your day. And so, gee, man, thanks.
Well, Cindy, what do you think of Jim?
I think he's great. And, you know, he's actually touching on a point that we've also heard about with COVID, and that it does sort of create this brain fog. You know, we've lost some of the framework around our lives, and especially I see it with students on campus. You know, you forget what day it is, you forget your appointments. We know this is really a thing. And we also know, like Jim was saying, there are some benefits to clearing your brain and, you know, the release of endorphins that are really important to helping our brain work well. So, yeah, that's a great reason to get back out, and not because he has to feel guilty, but just, you know, to experience some of those really great benefits again. It's great that he made that point.
And Jim, you don't have to start by running. You can start with a fast walk and build yourself back up. You can think just as well on a fast walk as you can on a big run. And you might not want to start with a big run. That's my advice. But I like it just because it does clear your mind up. And if you can get up and be tired and wish you had slept another hour, but then once you get out and do that, take that walk or do that exercise, I guess, at least in my case, I always feel better when I'm done.
Yeah.
Always.
It's really true. And so can we talk a little bit about the motivations? Because it's really interesting. You've been talking about it. Now Jim talked about it too. I remember studying this and being fascinated by the different kinds of motivations. And there are probably more than these, but if I could just run through a couple, I think it's fascinating. So for some people, the motivation for exercising or physical activity in general is social. It's completely social. And there are some really interesting studies on girls in sport and how their motivation is not so much, you know, to win. I mean, obviously they like that, but it's very much guided by the social experience. And I would argue that it's not just women either. But for some people, you know, unless they're with somebody, the experience isn't complete. And that's not, they don't have the benefit when they finish. So that's one. Health and fitness is the one I think you're talking about a lot, is just you, the feelings that you get, you know, the clarity of mind, you know, just all of those benefits, the endorphins, all of that. Plus, you probably look better, you know, you're feeling, you've got more energy, that health and fitness piece. Some people will exercise, a lot of people will exercise to get those benefits. For some people, though, and I have friends that are like this, their motivation is that exercise provides them with sort of a pursuit of vertigo. And by that, I mean, they are adventure sport people. So they're the mountain bikers and, you know, the parachute jumpers. And, you know, they love that rush of adrenaline that comes along with exercising. And they seek out those opportunities. And even if they're walking or running, they're going to jump over that creek rather than go over the bridge. You know, that kind of a person. And then there are some people for whom, and it's not me, but I'm just some. For some people, they love the beauty of movement. So dancers or gymnasts or, you know, people that are just really good at a sport and they've come to know the beauty of it. And maybe you've had this feeling where, maybe in golf too, you know, when you hit a good golf swing and it just feels amazing, like, wow, yeah. You hit the sweet spot. So some people really seek out physical activity for that purpose. And, you know, with golf, for me, that's few and far between. But, you know, it's the, once in a while it's there. and then there's this group of people, too, that really love the aesthetic. So different than the aesthetic, but they actually like the feeling of soreness after. You know, no pain, no gain. That gang of people who love that feeling afterwards of, and I have to say, I sometimes do, you know, I mean, I don't love it, but I do sort of admire the fact that I've worked out hard enough to get that soreness, which is weird, but interesting. And then there's, for a lot of people, a real cathartic experience. So if you think sport, the real aggressive nature, the real hard, you know, hard working, this was a great workout, and it was usually against another team or another person for that feeling of the win, right? So those motivations are very different from one another, but they all guide, you know, they can all guide our participation in physical activity.
Cindy Kuresh, our guest today. We're going to get to John and Madison in just a second, but Cindy is the PE teacher education program coordinator for physical education, teacher education programs at UW-Madison. Oh, man. Jill Nadeau, our producer, Christina Myshock, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Taking a look at exercise and physical activity. What's the difference? Cindy Kuresh, program coordinator for the physical education teacher education program at UW-Madison, our guest today. And I hope you'll join in with your comments. Number to call, 800-642-1234, or email us to ideas@wpr.org. And while I'm thinking about it, I just want to throw in a little plug for the Larry Mueller Show blog. I was just looking at the stories that we've got on the blog. There's one on spring migration that is just great. It's based on one of our shows. You want to learn how to grow 5 popular spices at home? Well, you can find out on our program blog. So that's a little plug. So go to ideas@wpr.org/Larry. And when you get there, you'll see over on the right-hand side our blog. And click on that. You're going to find some great stories. Not only those two, there's a dozen of them. And they're all worth a look. And it's worth a listen right now as we visit with Cindy about physical activity and exercise. John and Madison, it's your turn. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Larry and Cindy. Larry, another wonderful program. You have the best talk show in my lifetime, I think.
Thank you.
Anyway, I just wanted to say that I haven't gained hardly any weight during the pandemic, and it's because my wife and I decided to get out and hike and walk during the pandemic, and now it has become almost a necessity psychologically. Mm-hmm. If we don't get out and take a walk or take a hike, preferably, the day isn't complete. And when we had children at home, they're all grown up now, we used to go hiking at basically two places, Blue Mountain State Park, we live in Madison, or Devil's Lake State Park. And now, when the pandemic hit, we discovered the Ice Age Trail system. We discovered Dane County has 50, 60 different parks. And we've gone as far as Wyalusing and discovered hiking trails that are just out of this world, right here at our doorstep. And we went to Donald Park near Mount Horeb last night and hiked. We ended up getting back to the car when it was actually dark, but we hiked 3.4 miles, and it was absolutely gorgeous. The park was all ours. I mean, there's no excuse for not getting out and enjoying Mother Nature. And great program, huh?
John, thank you so much. You know, Cindy, John mentions a couple of things. Doing it with his partner, mm-hmm. and also the kind of the fact that it gets to the point that you feel guilty if you don't do it.
Yeah, and I mean, you're exactly right. He's exactly right. We live in an incredibly beautiful state. And so if you're guided by that aesthetic motivation, you know, you love to look at beauty there. There's not a better state in the country that I can imagine that would have the variety of trail systems that we have. Really is beautiful. And then to do it with someone else, to share that experience, you know, that social experience. You know, he's really tapped into two of them, and because he has, you know, they have made this a part of their life. And, you know, it's just like, I don't know if you have a dog, but if I go home and that dog hasn't taken a walk, she goes bananas, you know, and I mean, I think we are all sort of built that way too. Like our bodies really long for that feeling of movement and physical activity. And John just sounds like he's really tapped into it well. So good for them.
Yeah, good for you, John. Thank you. Nick in Elkhorn, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Nick.
Good morning, Larry and Gus.
Good morning.
So I'm a little younger than your average listener, but no difference there. So I am a short-haul truck driver out of Madison, and I have maybe 9 to 18 deliveries in a day, meaning I'm in and out of the truck at least twice as many times, on and off the trailer twice as many times. When I get home at night, I'm probably not going to have time to exercise or energy. So a couple years ago, I found ankle weights. I put them on every morning. I keep them in my locker at work. I put them on underneath my jeans every morning and don't even notice they're on. And as I go throughout the day, that's just that much, a little bit more resistance that it adds to my body. I kind of consider it more preventive maintenance than anything. Now, there's two downfalls that I did see with this. One is they do tend to wear out because I'm wearing them 40-plus hours a week. So I just go to, like, a secondhand store, Goodwill, and I find a new pair and go from there. And the other thing is walk through metal detectors at the Rock County Courthouse when I went to pay my property tax bill a year ago. I got some looks out of the security guards, and I quickly stopped what I was doing and backed out of the machine and told them what I had on my ankle because I was getting some very strange looks from the security guard.
That's a great story, Nick. And, well, what do you think about Nick's idea? I like it.
Yeah, Nick, I mean, you know, you're one of those people who've incorporated activity into your work. I wonder how many steps you take a day just as a part of what you're normally doing. Have you ever worn a Fitbit or, you know, something that tracks your activity?
I have not worn a pedometer or a Fitbit because I do a lot of in and out of the cab as well. So could that equal twice the exertion of one step? And then also I do a lot of unloading on my trailer and using a pry bar to move steel. So in general, it's a physical job with a lot of climbing more so than just the steps in a day.
Sure. Yeah. Well, and you know, some of these some of these electronic, you know, data trackers, activity trackers have gotten a little more sophisticated. You know, it used to be that it just, the pedometers, right, you could just shake them and, you know, I mean, if you were savvy, I know my students used to do this, they would shake them and get, you know, 30 billion steps a day. But now, you know, they're really, there's some really sophisticated ones. They'll track, you know, they'll track your vertical distance too. So those steps will count, that up and down will count as, you know, almost some power kinds of steps. And they'll track your heart rate. And so some of those movements will actually end up counting. It would be really interesting, I think, for someone like you who is probably very active, just to get a hold of something that is tracking the total activity and not just your steps.
Yeah, that's a good points there. Nick, thank you so much. I use the Map My Run app, which I like a lot because it has little competitions. You know, I'm in the top 10% of the 300,000 or so people who are on Map My Run for the you versus the year. It's kind of fun to keep track of that, too.
True.
John in Milwaukee will go to you. Oh, I'm sorry. Were you going to say something there, Cindy?
Sorry, I was going to ask you, Larry, do you use your phone to track or are you wearing something?
I have my phone, but I also have an iWatch too. So I'm kind of getting tracked on both of them at the same time.
Yeah, but you're all tacked up. I just want to see.
John in Milwaukee, your turn. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I really appreciate this. It's wonderful. I was a recreational fitness student at UWM in Milwaukee. And then they changed the name, and it used to be the Recreational Fitness. Sounded kind of funny, the leisure side of it. And then I learned to enjoy it. And now I learned in Judaism the idea of not doing work on the Sabbath. I was talking to a rabbi, a very Orthodox guy, and he walks every day down by the Jewish home. And then I said, well, are you working out? And he said, no. So then I realized in economics, the whole idea is that your laboring work is to accomplish something, like similar to what you were saying before, whereas activity is not to accomplish something. So when you're doing it for fun, you're just enjoying it, you're meditating, but you're not doing the labor work to accomplish something other than just the activity itself is just for fun. And that's the economics, and I can see how that fits with the Jewish Sabbath thing where you're not supposed to do work on the Sabbath, but you can walk. Isn't that interesting?
It is that indeed, is a, John. Cindy, go ahead.
Yeah, no, that is a fabulous parallel. I never thought about that, but you are right on. It's just so interesting that you would make that connection, but you're exactly right. It's all about your intention, right? And you've really hit on something there. That's fascinating.
I love it, John. Thank you very much for calling. By the way, you can join in, too. Maybe you've got an experience or a comment to share. Give a call at 800-642-1234 or email us to ideas@wpr.org. Let's turn to Rob in Green Bay. Rob, hi. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, hi, Larry. Thank you for taking my call and a fun show. I just wanted to chime in. I've been an avid adventure sports person for quite a while, but in the last couple of years, I've added bike commuting to my my daily routine. And honestly, it's kind of the best part of my day at this point. The ability to get up and get going on the bike to work, you know, think about what I've got coming up. And then at the end of the day, releasing the stress and getting some activity at the end of the day as well. It's about a 6-mile commute, which takes me generally around 25 to 30 minutes, depending on how hard and which way the wind is blowing.
Yeah, and traffic, I imagine, too. Well, that sounds great to me. What do you think, Cindy?
Yeah, I love that you are one of those, you know, adventure activity people, because I think that is a really fascinating sort of component of physical activity. I love that. And it's super interesting and very much growing. But also, good job to tap into physical activity as a part of your daily routine. You know, if you talk to, like, you know, my parents, their days were really physically active. I mean, we had one car growing up, so somebody had to walk to work. And, you know, here now you are commuting, but way to bring physical activity back into your daily routine. I bet you do feel better, both at the beginning and end of the day, right? It's a great way to sandwich your activity. It's a really smart thing to do, and I think more and more people are going that direction.
Yeah, thanks, Rob. A great point. Appreciate it. Well, Greg in Lake Geneva, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Greg.
Hey, Larry. Thanks for taking the call. It's true what they say about you. You really are the man.
Thank you. Hey,
you so are.
I have a question. Yeah, it's true. I have a question. So, you know what? I think I spent too much time in zone 3 heart rate in my years, especially on a bicycle. And I'm kind of curious if she thinks that is, you know, can you exercise too much?
Oh,
you absolutely can. Yes. And you can actually become addicted to exercise as well. You know, we used to, I think when exercise is a relatively new study, you know, people didn't exercise for exercise sake for a long time because people were so tired at the end of their workday, they didn't exercise. They were already exercising. But yes, you're right. I mean, we are finding now that, you know, there is a sweet spot, and usually most of us can find it on our own. But if you love to exercise and you love that feeling, especially if you're an ascetic, like we were talking about before, and you kind of like that pain that goes along with exercising, you'll just have to be a little careful and take care of yourself and set some limits and probably just see a physician about what is the best, you know, what's your best target heart rate for exercise, and then get some sort of a digital sort of reminder to help you stay in it. But it's a great question, and it's an important one to think about.
Yeah. And just the flip side of that, I can remember this last winter, there was a stretch, remember, we had below zero and the winds were high. There were about 4 days I said the heck with it and I didn't go out the morning. You know, it's a little harder to get back started back up. You kind of have to motivate yourself. If you're sick or something and you get out of your routine for even 4 or 5 days, it's a little bit of a challenge to sort of talk yourself back into getting out there. Any words of advice on that? I just say, well, look, I got to do it or I'm going to gain a bunch of weight. But what's your advice on that?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, it is really hard. And, you know, even a few days is hard. Can you imagine, you know, people that have, their lifestyle has had to change so much during COVID that they've had a year away? I mean, you are pushing up against that desire to go back and your body saying, I don't think so. But this is where I think it is important to sort of think about what your motivation is. You clearly have some strong motivations and they work for you, right? Like, you know, you want to, you need to exercise and work out and even some of that leisure time to make sure that you're healthy and fit. And it sounds like you really like some of that, you know, some of that, a little bit of the competition too, that goes with, you know, being in the top 10% as you're a runner, and that really works for you. But I think everyone should figure out what their motivation is and what will help them. So one of mine is that I really love the social experience. And so if someone calls me and says, will you go for a hike? I always say yes. But, you know, if I'm sitting around, you know, maybe I don't always do it myself. But I know that's my motivation. So I can ask people, hey, look, you know, if we haven't done something in a week or so, will you just shoot me a text and let's make sure we go. So I think if you know what your motivations are and you can, like, get connected with people that have the same one, or you can use that like you do just as a reminder, yes, I want to stay healthy and fit. Just tap into what your motivation is and, you know, match the activities to it. And that should be helpful a little bit anyway.
Let's take a call from Ricky in Oconomowoc. Ricky, hi. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. I have to tell you, I bought the book, The Joy of Movement, and I heard about it on your program. It's by Kelly McGonigal.
Yep.
And I thought, oh, this is kind of lightweight. But I got into the book, and she is so right on. Basically, she says that our brain is hardwired to hear music as an invitation to move. And it has to have a certain beat and a happiness to it, etc. So what I've done is I do a half hour of dancing around the living room to happy music. And I have an Apple Watch so I can track my progress. And I'm telling you, it changes your life. That's mm-hmm. what I've found. It's wonderful to just hear music, and it takes you back memory-wise. It takes you back to places. It's amazing. And you don't have to leave your house.
Yeah. What do you think, Cindy? I'm glad you bought the book.
Yes, it's great. But you're right. I mean, isn't it hard to stand still when you hear music? I mean, or even sit still or anything? I mean, how many of us, even we just start gesturing with our hands when we hear music, and especially music that taps into a memory, like you were saying, you know, things that you remember, places that you were. Yes, music is powerful, and it does bring out that aesthetic sort of beauty of movement. There's just nothing like dance, right? And we, you know, there are lots of forms of it. My daughter dances way differently than I do, but we still find joy in it. So good job, you know, and way to resurrect that and to find that way of movement important for you. Can I just tell a quick story about my mom? I hope she's not listening.
Yeah.
But go ahead, listen, Mom. She, you know, here I was in the physical education field forever, you know, and she was not very physically active, and I didn't really say much about it, but I worried about her a little bit, you know, not finding the joy of that or, you know, not experiencing the health benefits. And so I said to her one time, you know, what do you like to do? And she goes, nothing. I don't like to move. And she said, except for dance. One time I took a dance class, and wouldn't you know, I said, gee, you know, I wonder if there's anything. She found a dance class in her town, just like this caller, and it has changed her life. She's 86. She dances all the time. Her health has really improved so much, and she's joyful, just like your callers are saying. I mean, she's found the joy in dance, and it's been so great for her. So thanks for that. Thanks for that reminder. It's a really important piece of movement.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Ricky. And it's one of the reminders of the kinds of shows we do here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Sometimes we help some people, and it sounds like in this case, Ricky got a little help from one of the shows. Probably might have been a Central Time show, but that's all right. I don't care. I'm just glad you found it. Thank you. Larry in Reedsburg, let's go to you. Hi, Larry.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a technique I've used for about 15 years after I retired, and that is anytime I'm in the car, like this morning, I see somebody that, at this time of year, raking lawns and picking up leaves, I stop and give them a hand. I've gone so far as to carry a rake in my truck. I've met a lot of friends, got a little exercise, accomplished something, and I'm a hunter and fisherman. I've gained access to a lot of hunting and fishing areas, especially with farmers in the fall and the summer putting in hay. Average age of the farmers are about in their 60s now. They can all use a hand, and anytime you're out, won't hurt you to pick up a bale of hay and help them load a wagon. It's a great way to stay in shape and hunt. And some real nice new meals if you're there that long.
Oh, Larry, what a great thought. Cindy, comment.
What do you say to a guy who's got a heart that big? That is a wonderful way to combine movement with, you know, just being a great guy and a good neighbor and, you know, and combining that social component with movement and in a way that I just never thought about before. But I love that. It makes me want to put a rake in my car right now. What a thoughtful person. So is every Larry in the world like this? I mean, you're really nice. This guy's amazing. What a nice guy.
And Larry, if you're in my neighborhood Saturday morning, before the golf, I've got a little raking to do. Oh, man. Thanks.
Yeah, Larry, don't give your phone number out. People will be calling you.
Oh, man. Should we switch up? Well, in his case, he's switching his activities with different people, but do we need to switch up our activities, or how do we know if we're getting enough training in or exercise?
Yeah, you know, it's a great point, too. I mean, we know, like, that a lot of youth sports now are encouraging kids to stay really focused on one sport as they grow up. And we know that not only does that contribute to overuse injuries, but it also doesn't help them be all around movers. So that's one of the reasons I think physical education is such a big deal, because we teach students to move in all different ways. So not just running and not just volleyball, but, you know, can they develop motor skills that will be useful to them throughout every activity in their life? So yeah, every time you get a chance to do something unique or something a little different, that's great. And of course, we have our favorites, but yeah, I think it's really important to try some new things once in a while. And again, not to go crazy, but, you know, to just do them moderately, but sure, try some new things. You'll probably find some muscles you didn't know you had.
So here as we're getting close to the end of our little talk here. What advice do you have for staying motivated to be physically active?
Yeah, we've talked about it all along, but I really think, you know, think about your reason for moving. And then once you figure that out, you know, get a team around you of people that like to do the same thing, or, you know, find some organizations that help you see opportunities for moving in those sorts of ways. Like for you, you've found other golfers. That's great. Maybe there's someone out there that, you know, thinks that they would really like to just recreationally take a walk and hang out with friends. Well, golf is a great way. So think about why you do the activities that you do, and then, you know, go ahead and match them up with activities and people that maybe want to join you.
So Saturday afternoon after golf, I'm going to have that aesthetic feeling on Sunday probably, because it'll be my first time out golfing for the year, and it'll be 18 holes, walking 18 holes with a lot of swings involved. I'm pretty sure of that.
Yep.
But you know what's
going to
be
fun? If you hang out with Larry afterwards and rake your yard, you're going to be all kinds of aesthetic afterwards.
Oh, Cindy, what a joy to talk to you. Thank you so much for being with us today. I hope we can do this again. It was a lot of fun, and I think we got lots of great calls. People are doing a lot of really cool things, aren't they? And more
they really
should
are,
be.
Yeah. They really are, and it is encouraging. I think it will encourage your other listeners to do the same and just to know that it's accessible. You know, you can get out there and do it. But thanks for talking about it, and thanks for inviting me, Larry. I really enjoy talking with you.
Yeah, we'll get you back. Thanks, Cindy.
Thanks so much.
Take care. Cindy Kourash, Program Coordinator for the Physical Education Teacher Education Program at UW-Madison. Always fun talking with her, and we'll do it again. And, you know, it's kind of keep on this theme of weight and diet is coming into play here as well. And there are some new dietary guidelines that are out. You know, they come out every so often. And we'll be talking about those new guidelines and how they can fit into your life. That's next on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.